and he was making pizza over there. And the pizza had cheese on it. So that's what the Italian said. It's always had cheese on it. It always had sauce on it. Whether you put the cheese on first or the sauce on first, I mean, that don't matter. There's some people just got carried away with this, that it's tomato pie. You know, I mean, that's the translation of pizza con pomodoro is tomato pie.
Welcome to the Pizza Therapy Podcast, a show about eating pizza, making pizza, loving pizza, where we talk about pizza. We have pizza conversations with the famous, the notorious, as well as unknown pizza lovers. Stay tuned. This is episode 3 of the Pizza Therapy Podcast. My name is Albert Grande, and in this episode, I speak with Al Santillo of Santillo's Brick Oven Pizza, located in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Al is a third-generation pizza maker who carries on the tradition of making great pizza. He reveals the secret to his pizza, which is the original pizza recipe handed down through generations. One of the secrets is the brick oven, which was a coal-fired oven but has since been converted to gas. He's an old-school pizza maker who is dedicated to the craft of pizza making. Al is a no-nonsense guy who shares his passion through his pizza and proudly tells it like it is. His story is fascinating, and he shares his earliest memories from climbing into the coal oven as a little kid to the last conversation he had about pizza with his father. This episode is sponsored by the Pizza Therapy T-shirt collection. With thousands of custom T-shirts, show your love of pizza and your pizza love, T-shirts can be your canvas. Go to pizzatherapy.com/T or apizzapodcast.com/shirt. I'll include links in the show notes. This episode and post contains affiliate links, and I will be compensated if you make a purchase after clicking on my links. Here's Al. Al, tell me a little bit about your pizza story. How did you get into the pizza business?
Okay, this is the reason. I'm going to give you the reason why I can't give up this place. And it's because the history of this place, when all the Italians came here from Italy 100 years ago, it was like something magic happened. I don't think it ever happened before the way it did here. All the Italians came from all the different parts of Italy. And they all wound up maybe from New York, and then they wound up over here in Elizabeth, but they were all in this metropolitan area, and they started swapping ideas back and forth, and I got a lot of knowledge in my head where, like, I mashed all this stuff up, like how the history of it all happened. My grandfather's supposed to have the true recipe. We've been around, I mean, people that know really good pizza, this is the best pizza probably, and I'm not even exaggerating, because I've been here for 60 years, and I was told this 50 years ago. This is the best pizza anywhere, period. If you can't tell, this is where you're going to come to get your standards raised. You come here, and you see what I'm doing over here. Nobody, absolutely nobody else is doing what I'm doing the way I'm doing. But it's basically, it's very hard to do what I'm doing, because it takes so much knowledge and timing and everything you gotta do to make the pizza the way that I do it. It's just all very high level of craftsmanship. We're very good bakers. Santillo's had the best Italian bread. Somehow, you put this up against anybody's bread, the recipe that we have, somehow this one always comes out tasting a little bit better. And when I was young, I had to go work around, and I worked at other pizzerias and other bakeries, and I see what they do. And my father was always right. He had the better recipe, and he had the better methods of doing it. Like I said, when I was young, I wasn't here for a while. I went away into service. I never didn't work here. I was working other places, too. I always had 2-3 jobs, sometimes 4 things going at the same time. I got that Italian work ethic that is a big part of what I got to do here. And there's a vibe that I got to have that all goes together. And I'm still trying to keep that Italian immigrant work ethic and the vibe still going that it got passed down to me since I'm a little kid. And no matter how hard I gotta work, how hard I gotta try, somehow I'm gonna recreate everything the way it was over here 50 years ago. Cause I've been working here since I was born in this house. My father loved the business. He could never give up the bread business. So it was always bread and pizza. I tried doing both for a while, the bread and the pizza. These guys were working over 100 hours a week like crazy, doing bread all night and pizza all night and just going around the clock. And they wind up making themselves real sick. I gave up making the bread. I make a little bit of bread just for the people that in the neighborhood, they want to come and pick it up. But then I concentrated on the pizza because the pizza started being a lot bigger thing. So that's how I mostly got into, like, I'm 95% pizza now. I got a lot of great clientele. Like, my customers, they're great, so you don't mind working hard for when you got really good customers like that. A lot of the job, it's a pleasure. Waiting on the customers is nice. Dealing with all the nice customers is nice. It's mostly all nice. I mean, the job is actually a pleasure, but the only drawbacks you got is the economic value of it. And when you're getting back into that, it's like, you're never going to make as much working over here. Like, anybody that could work over here, they could probably go do anything anywhere else. So unless you have some reason that you really want to be here like I do, you could probably go someplace else and make a lot more money. And that's what I'm running into, that the economics of it. From that point of view, I'm struggling because I can't charge enough for how much time and everything I put into the pizza. So you got to look at it from other angles. Like, this is a good place. The husband and wife wants to be together, or family wants to be together all the day. But they told me this stuff since I was a kid. Like, you know, you're not going to make a lot of money doing this, but you don't really think like that when you're younger. You think the money's going to get better, but it's always the same struggle as far as, like, the money aspect of it. That's a whole nother subject.
Santillo's has been going since 1918.
Yeah, it's going to be 100
right.
years this year.
100 years
yeah.
old. So your grandfather started it.
That's right. My grandfather Louis came here in 1912. Not that you worship your elders, but you revere your grandparents and all that stuff. I was brought up like that, brought up like in old Italian ways. You're working for yourself. You make your own hours. You could have your friends over here. If you want to stop and take a day off or a break or what, nobody could tell you when to do that. So, you know, it all kind of like balances out as far as that. Yeah, you gotta work like five people over here. There's no doubt about what you gotta do over here. You really gotta hop around, answer the phone, work the oven, you know, make the pies, wait on the customers. You gotta do it all because of the fact that you're not mass producing anything like some of these companies, they mass produce, and you can't make the job easy enough. Trying to make the best pizza that's possible, and that's what was getting done over here 50, 60 years ago. We were just making the best pizza possible and then going out and charge according to what it makes you, and then add something on for yourself and keep going.
Are you using the same recipe that your grandfather used and your father
used? Yeah, that's
used?
Exactly what I'm proud of. I got the same recipe. And this is how all these things are like Italian sayings, but they're all true.
What's your earliest memory of pizza?
Wow. I remember so long ago that I couldn't even put the cheese in my mouth raw because it would burn like the top of my mouth. Like, that's how gentle my taste buds were when I was real small. Even if I took like a piece of mozzarella, it would burn the top of my mouth. So that's how far back I remember the pizza. But the earliest things I remember doing was I'd have an Aunt Angie coming over here, and me and her, this before we even had a cheese grinder. My father was still used to take a knife, and he used to take the big bar of cheese, like that 5-pound block, and then cut it up with like a dough chopper or a knife. And then you had to put it into like little dice-sized pieces. So that me and Aunt Angie, we used to cut up whatever amount of cheese you needed for the day. So I remember doing that. I must have only been about maybe 6 or 7 years old doing that job. And littler than that, I used to have to climb in like where they dumped the coal and pick out all the good pieces of coal that were still in there. Because when you dumped it, there was still some good pieces of coal in there. You had to go in there and pick those out so then my father could reuse them.
Since you brought it up, Al, tell me about the brick oven that you have there. It's a coal fire oven.
This was built as a coal oven. It was always too big. After we delivered the bread, we had to go look around for scrap wood. And back then, there was always like tons of scrap wood. People were like always rebuilding houses back then, so the scrap wood was always in the front of the house. So we used to take the scrap wood, bring it over here to build the fire. The oven I got some paperwork over here that if I ever want to make like a historic place or something, you have to, everything's got to be documented. I did find some documents that 1895, there was a two-bedroom house built in the front with a little store. Then about 1902 or 1904, something like that, they built this a big long addition onto the building when they built the brick oven. And the one guy was working as a fireman, and the other guy, they didn't say what he did, but he worked at an oil refinery that was about a mile from here. So I would say when I was young, I used to be in the laborers union, and I used to work with the masons, and sometimes I was nice. I used to work down the refinery on basically units that were very similar to my brick oven in how they were constructed. We used to use the same type of brick, same type of mortar, same type of techniques. And they would use them for different things when you're making oil. And then I used to meet guys over there that they would work in glass factories where they make glasses, like different types of glass. They had these same kind of things. So I used to learn off of those guys. And then my father went to school for masonry under G.I. Bill after World War II. Like, we take care of this oven ourselves primarily. Like, if something really big was to go wrong with it, then I have to go find somebody that specializes in this type of work. And there's not too many of them around anymore, but you would have to probably go to the guy that makes these refractory brick and find somebody that maybe wants to do a little job and come over here and work on this oven.
Is your oven running 24/7, goes all the time?
No, here's how it works. There's one chamber. Most ovens are two chambers. There's a, you open one door, there's a flame, and then the heat goes up. They open a top door, and that's where you make the pizza, right? Follow me? Well, this is not like that. This basically, there's one chamber, like a cave. Imagine a cave. Listen, I burned 100 tons of coal over here, but I was getting real sick, and my father wound up with emphysema and COPD. It was like no joke. My grandfather died of leukemia when he was 64, and then my father, he ruined his health by the time he was 58 doing this, because it's really no joke breathing all that coal fumes and stuff. People that don't do it, they don't understand the occupational hazards. So I was getting real sick when I was only in my 30s. So then doctors said, get rid of the coal. So luckily, I found this one old gas guy. They turned me on to this place called Corbin Industries because he would do little companies like me, and then he would do work at real big companies like Scott Paper Towel and stuff. So he come over here, and he able to retrofit right where the coal used to go in a big gas burner. So it works just the way the coal used to work, because my father would tell you, doesn't matter what you burn, the recipe calls for clean heat. So when you burn the coal, it was very complicated. You know, labor was cheap back then. You would have to have a guy just like a fire tender, basically. That's how much work it was, because I was young. I used to jump back and forth, take care of the fire and the oven and do everything else. I'd be jumping around like a nut. But you have to go put the coal on, then you have to get a poker, go over there, poke the grate, and then the ashes would fall out. So you had to know a lot about coal. Like a pound of coal could be 12,000 BTUs, or it could be 17,000 BTUs. You had to know how much ash was in it, how many BTUs of heat you were going to get out of. You had to know how to burn coal. It wasn't just throw coal on there. And then you had to make a fire to start the coal. Then if you're lucky, the fire would last you a few days, but eventually you'd have to dump it. Once you dumped it, then you had to build a new fire in there. A lot of work. Sure. A lot of smoke and stuff. So anyway, the gas works great. It's got like a 500,000 BTU burner. I'm running it right now. I'm only open 4 days a week right now. I'm on a reduced schedule.
Al, what do you think the secret is to good pizza?
You got to have a good recipe. It's that simple, but you tell people that like it goes in one ear and out the other. It goes over their head. I got the true recipe over here. And I can tell by what I'm doing. And I go around, I see what other people's doing. And it's like, really? You know, I see what they're doing. They're not, nobody's doing the, make it following the true recipe. But I'm lucky I got it because how it was passed down to me. That's why I'm devoting my whole life over here, because it's like, when you buy a bottle of wine, that's a good comparison. It says on there, estate bottled. I don't know much you know about wine. Sometimes the bottle will say on it, proprietary or proprietors. That's the stuff that he reserves for himself. That's supposed to be a little bit better. So that's what you got going on over here. I want this bread and pizza for myself, but I got to do all this work so that I could stay here and get a good loaf of bread every day and get a good pizza every day when I want it, because there's no way, if I go get a job, if I'm making $200,000 a year, when am I going to have all this time to accumulate all these things that I got to have to make this great pizza and bread? Not going to happen. So that's why I'm over here. It's like a sacrifice. You know, hey, everything in life is a sacrifice, but I am sacrificing, and I'm already 60 years old, so it's not like I'm getting any younger.
How do you think Santillo's pizza is different from all the other pizzas that are in New Jersey or in America, for that matter?
How's it different? But every step of the way is done properly. I follow the recipe, and everything is done properly. This is why I'm where I am in Elizabeth. I'm in the port of New York. Elizabeth is the port of New York, okay? I don't know if you understand that. Elizabeth, New Jersey, is the port that New York City uses. We got ships coming in here every day from all points of the world. I can go to all these warehouses, make friends with these people that have these big warehouses, and I can walk out of there with stuff, you know, the best stuff in the world that I need to make a pizza. If the stuff from Italy is the best, I buy it. If the stuff from Morocco is the best, I buy that. If the stuff from Turkey or Greece is better, I can get that. I can go right to the warehouse and get the real stuff that I need to make the real pizza the way it's supposed to really be. I don't have to skimp on anything.
One of the things, in looking at your menu, you've got all these different years. You're like, what do all the years mean, Al?
Well, kind of like that's when those were popular. I've been here so many years, and the customers kept coming in. Come, make the pizza like this. Your grandfather made it like that back in this year. Make it like this. This is how it used to be in that year. My memory goes back to, like, the 1960s. Little by little, the style changed, like posting on there about my grandfather. He only made one size round pie. He didn't make a Sicilian pie. He made like a 14-inch round pie, and that's it. If you wanted more pizza, you bought two pizzas. None of this stuff, give me a small, give me a medium, give me a large, don't make no sense. Buy one medium, two mediums, it was the perfect size, a 14-inch pie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pizza's like the least expensive thing that you could buy. I'm making a healthy, wholesome product that I would feed myself and my own families. I use flour that's enriched. I'm using bread flour that's enriched with vitamins, and I happened to go see a nutritionist, sat me down and said the biggest thing they don't want me eating is high fructose corn syrup. So I stopped that cold about a month or so ago. I haven't even had a soda. I've been drinking seltzer water now. I'm happy with that. I'll get a bottle of seltzer water, and I'm happy drinking that. I got to be around here as long as I can. Maybe things will turn around. I'd like to live to see America turn around and start eating healthy.
One of the things that New Jersey is known for is this tomato pie. Do you sell a lot of those, the 1940 genuine tomato pie and the 1948 tomato pie?
That thing about the tomato pie, let me tell you something. Every time they tell you tomato pie, they got to explain to you what it is. Well, here's what it is. This was the last conversation I had with my father before he died. I says, what is this about the tomato pie? He goes, what is a Neapolitan dialect? Pizza con pomarol. Pizza con pomarol. So he kept going over his head, going over his head. Came home on leave in World War II, and my grandfather had lost his business on 4th Avenue. There was a big crying about that. American dream was not to own a house. American dream is to have your own business. Then the house comes second. His father lost the business because I guess his father was already getting sick, because I told you he died of cancer when he was 64. He had leukemia. So he lost his business. He lost his building over in the Italian section. And he wound up working in this, like a restaurant, and he was making pizza, maybe not too far from here. My father showed me where it was. And he was making pizza over there. And the pizza had cheese on it. So that's what the Italian said. It's always had cheese on it. It always had sauce on it. Whether you put the cheese on first or the sauce on first, I mean, that don't matter. That some people just got carried away with this, that it's tomato pie. You know, I mean, that's the translation of pizza con pomarol is tomato pie.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Well, so they used to put on the sign crispy tomato pie, and he always put the sauce on first, and then he put the cheese on. We got these big brick ovens over here. We got bakers that we're going back and forth between Brooklyn. We're seeing all these things. Italians go out, they do all their reconnaissance. They do their intelligence. They go around and they see what everybody else is doing. They're trying to make the best thing that they can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody wanted the cheese on first and the sauce on top, is The number one reason is the pie is going to get cold fast. That's why the pie stays hot a nice longer. It tastes a lot better putting the sauce first.
Now, one of the other things you do, which is very unusual, I think, at Santillo's, you ask customers how they like the crust.
When we first were over here, which was nice, it was mostly all Italians that came. And the people that know better know that you have to cook the pizza well done. Nobody cooks the pizza. The Italians are real cooks, like the mother cooks, the father cooks, the grandparents cook. Everybody knows how to cook and bake in the Italian family, or at least they're supposed to, or that's how it used to be. The reason that has, they see the outside of the crust burn a little bit. Yeah, because that's like steak on a bone. If the middle of the pie, where all the sauce and the cheese and the toppings are, is going to be cooked properly and the oven's hot, all that's telling you is that the edges got to get burned a little bit. But they see the least little bit of the pizza's cooked, they want it like white bread. That's what my father says. He says, you're living in a white bread world.
As a baker, Al, what is the difference between white bread and Italian bread?
Number one, white bread is made in a pan. It's like almost like a batter goes in there, like a thick batter goes into a pan. And then that's what white bread is. Italian bread is you put a lot less water in the dough, and the dough comes out of the bench where, like, you see how pizza dough is, where you can pick it up in your hand. And then the Italian bread, you roll it into any kind of loaf you want, and then you bake it in the oven, and it's a lot denser.
Are you using the same dough for your pizza as you do when you make bread?
It's the same exact dough. The only difference is you handle it differently. That's what people don't know how to do. They don't really know what they're doing. So to me, it looks like they're just happy that they made something.
Yeah.
You know, like from my point of view as a baker, I'm walking into your pizzeria. This guy's just happy he's making something. Like, I'm trying to make something specific, that a recipe that was handed down for 150 years. And these other guys, they're just happy that it looks like a pizza, you know?
That's true. That's true, Al. I agree.
I know. I'm doing this all my life. Like, I'm learning stuff every day because there's so much knowledge to be had out there, and then you got to, your head's only so big. I'm loyal to a fault. That's what my brother used to say about me. I'm just loyal to a fault. Loyal to the old regime.
Yeah. I hope you keep making pizzas at Santillo's. I mean,
yeah.
Your pizzas look just simply awesome. I want to kind of end up here, and I got a quick question for you. Can you give me some tips for the home pizza maker?
Practice, practice, practice. How's that sound? Here's what it comes down to. I'm trying to make a real Italian product the way I was taught, and then I'm trying to give it to, say, you, and then I'm hoping that I can cultivate your palate. I had an example. I used to make this one pie called the Underunk. Like, I used to cook the pie like halfway for this guy, and he used to come once a week for years. And then little by little, I'd cook it more and more and more, till at the end, he was, like, demanding it well done. And that's what he liked. But as far as like the home person, I would say the biggest tips I could is get all good ingredients and make sure you use real yeast, even if you got to get it out of the packet like that. You got to buy those little packets and you put the hot water in there and you reconstitute your yeast. That's real important. As far as everything else, like everybody like gets into their own head, like what they want to do. I used to make pizza like when I was in the Air Force. I'd go over to my friend's house for the weekend and we'd make pizzas, and I used to use the all-purpose flour, and any stuff used to come out great. You could go back and forth for like thousands of pages talking about all the little things that you change and then how it's going to change the result. You could go on for thousands of pages just talking about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Al, your pizza has been celebrated all across the country.
Yeah.
Every year you make the Daily Meal's top 100 best pizzas in America.
Yeah.
People recognize your hard work and what you've done for the industry.
Trying to raise everybody's standards is what I'm trying to do.
You're certainly doing it, and I hope you keep doing it for a long time.
I'm going to try.
How can people find Santillo's Brick Oven Pizza?
Just go to Santillo's Brick Oven Pizza and Google it. That's the easiest way nowadays. Google Santillo's Pizza. You'll find a wealth of information there.
SantilloPizza.com at 639 South Broad Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey. You're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
And YouTube. You know, and I'm on Google Blog.
Is there a question I didn't ask you? Is there something you want to mention right now?
Oh, no. I could talk about this stuff like for days and days and days.
I'll tell you, I hope I can make it to Santillo's one of these days and have one of your pizzas. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks,
talk
Albert.
To you soon. All right,
talk
buddy.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Al, for your great pizza conversation. You are a true original. I'll include all links to all the references from this show in the show notes and at apizzapodcast.com. For this episode, we give a nod to Santillo's Brick Oven Pizza, 639 South Broad Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Their phone, 908-354-1887. Please check out our sponsor, personalized t-shirts for you, your family, and what better gift to a pizza lover than a t-shirt. Go to pizzatherapy.com/t or apizzapodcast.com/shirt. Thank you so much for your support. Until next time, pizza on earth, goodwill to all.